Blog Talk Radio.
Feel that chill, smell that fresh cut grass. I'm back in my helmet, cleats and shoulder pads. Standing in the huddle, listening to the call. Fans going crazy for the boys of fall.
Hey everybody, welcome to the fifth quarter with Coach Johnson. I'm your host, Dave Johnson. Got a little bit of football to talk about tonight. College is finally over. Glad to see the LSU Tigers pull that out. They've been really good all year. Didn't start off so well, but it sure ended well. We watched it to about halftime, and then we didn't get to – we went and eat, watched it, and then come home. We don't get ESPN, so – we listened to a little bit of it, but glad to see that Joe Burrow's really do good. He's got an amazing story of, you know, how where he come from and transferred to LSU and in origin, how he wound up there, you know, as an interim coach. And, they finally interviewed a lot of coaches and kept him, and you know, he's from down there in that part of the country, and just really a good fit for him, you know. And he did a great job there, no doubt about it. But Burrow's, you know, we watched, I think it was a couple weeks ago, we watched the East-West All-American high school game, and there was several recruits on there done signed with D1 schools and all that, but you know, they showed a lot of those guys that had been in the pros, and there was several of them that had been, but, you know, there's a lot of these guys in the pros that wasn't high school All-Americans, you know, that took different routes to get there, I guess you would say. And so, you know, a lot of these players, you know, they think, you know, you're a five-star recruit right out of high school, going to college, and, you know, you're destined for the NFL, but it don't always work out that way. You look at how many small colleges that are represented in the NFL, and it's really amazing. You know, Jerry Rice played at a small school. Terrell Owens played at a small school. Those guys were really, really good. Jerry Rice, probably the best wide receiver to ever play, and I know Josh Allen, you know, plays quarterback for the Buffalo Bills. They was talking about him, and sitting right out of high school, he didn't get no offers, so he went to a junior college, and in the junior college, he hadn't had no offers, and said he sent a ton of emails out, and the only school that gave him a chance was Wyoming. So, you know, then now, look, you know, he's Buffalo's quarterback, franchise quarterback, one win away from, you know, playing, one playoff win away from, you know, having Buffalo's first playoff win in years, and played pretty good for a while. And so, you know, there's plenty of ways and different paths you can take to get to these levels. And, you know, just from where Joe Burrow started and the way all that ended, and, you know, the quarterback from the SEC going to Ohio State, and just glad to see him win it. I guess he went on to break Colt Brennan's touchdown record, I presume. I know he was one shy of it. He did break it. I was getting told here in my ear. So, you know, he's a great guy. You know, you want, you know, that's the kind of guys you want to see as leaders. You know, I like that. You know, a tough nose, you know, hands in the dirt kind of guy. And so just to make sure, you know, they don't do things wrong. So I like him. He's really good and conducts himself in a, you know, in a great way. And I just like those kind of guys. I know I'm old and old school, and you know, back when I played, it was, you know, you score, you celebrate your teammates a little bit, hand the ref the ball, and it was over. You know, and you just different, so much different today with all the riffraff, and they all want to celebrate after every play, and see guys like that still in the sport, still doing good, winning the Heisman, going to win the national championship is just really great. And like I said, Ed Orgeron, you know, you can't imagine, you know, the path that guy took as well to wind up there. I heard him talking last night, said he wasn't even, you know, supposed to be in that situation, but when he took the interim job, that it just turned things around, and they met with him and, you know, give him an opportunity. And when they give him the opportunity, it didn't figure that it would last too long, but he, you know, proved them wrong and went on to do it. You know, and a guy like that right there, it's I watched him a lot on the field, and, you know, he puts so much faith in his coordinators and things of that nature to do their job. And I know that as a head coach, that's tough to put faith in, you know, to put all the faith in your coordinators. But I guess at those levels, when you screen them and hire them and all that, you just have to, you know, you just have to make sure everybody's on the same page, what you want done and what's in mind, and, you know, make sure you get all the plays that, you know, that fit your personnel and, you know, what you're trying to do on the field. So just really happy for those guys. Glad they did it. You know, not to say anything about Clemson, because they had a great year. A year where I didn't think they were as good as they were in the past, and, you know, to make it that far. Got a great quarterback in their own right, really, really good coach. So, you know, I mean, Jennifer was talking about it last night when they hired him over there. Florida State was dominating the ACC, and, you know, they interviewed him and said, you know, why would you? Something to do with, you know, taking this job. You know, it's going to win 10 or 11 games every year, 12, and, you know, we have a great career. You know, he just point blank, and they hadn't won anything yet. You know, he said, hey, where I'm from, that, you know, just winning those amount of games is not acceptable. You know, we want to win all the games. So, you know, you gotta like him as well, and the things they've did over the past several years since he's been there. Trevor Lawrence, he's a young guy, just a true sophomore. Got a lot of work to do, but, you know, I seen a stat last night, like the last eight games, he threw 30 touchdowns and zero interceptions up until last night. So, you know, that's pretty amazing, considering the first three games or so, he threw 8 touchdowns and 6 interceptions. So they're going to be tough to deal with again next year, especially with having that quarterback back and several good receivers. And, you know, it's hard to keep a dynasty together. It really is, especially at the college, high school, women's, all that stuff, players leaving. Going pro, players, you know, graduating high school, you get this women's stuff, but, you know, so many players are 1 year and done. So it's really tough. And, you know, to be at the top year in and year out for Clemson, you're right there at it. I mean, I know you play to win it, no doubt, but you can't win it if you ain't in it. So, you know, they were there, put up a good showing. And, you know, when we watched that game last night, I kept thinking that, you know, the field position for the longest time was LSU was inside their five on two or three possessions early. Of course, one of them, I think they went on to score maybe, but, you know, Clemson had great field position and didn't do a whole lot with it. I mean, I think a couple times they got held and had to punt. But, you know, you get that great field position against those really good teams, especially teams that can play some defense. It's gonna come back to bite you, and I think it did in the end. You know, it's no doubt about it in my mind, the best team won, you know, the game. I'd say if they played that game, you know, 10 times, LSU probably win nine or ten of them. I just think they were, you know, that much better. I know it was a little bit of a rocky start for them, but, you know, they bounced back and got it together and went on to win it. So, you know, and another thing, just think, that's almost like a home game for them playing in New Orleans. You know, I think it's, 100, 120 miles from Baton Rouge to New Orleans. Said the crowd was like 70% to 30%. So that always helps, you know, when you play a game of that magnitude in your home state, it's always going to help as well. But for sure, they did a great job all year. I thought a long time, well, for most of the year, Ohio State was the best team, and they were the second best team. And, you know, there we go. It just shows you how much I know about all that. So, but it was a great job. So then we go on to the NFL. And, you know, what about the Tennessee Titans? You know, who foreseen them to be in the position they're in? You know, nobody give them a chance against New England. They go up there and just shut them plumb down. You know, then everybody that I heard picking games, you know, when they talked about the Titans going to Baltimore, well, that was a great thing they did, you know, in New England. But this is Baltimore, Lamar Jackson, and it's so much different. And it's been a great season for them, but they won't get it done. Then they go up there and just pretty much maul the Baltimore Ravens. And, you know, you hear these coaches, it's former NFL coaches and players and all this stuff that are analysts now. And, you know, they'll tell you the formula to winning in the postseason is being able to run the ball and play defense. And the Titans have surely did both of those the last two games. Now they really got another tough task this week, but you know, they did beat Kansas City earlier in the year. We were actually at that game. When we went to the locker rooms to get ready to play our game, the Chiefs were ahead. And by the time everybody got to the locker room, it was a tie game or the Titans had taken the lead. So, it, you know what, anything can happen. I wouldn't be surprised if they won, and I wouldn't be surprised if the Chiefs win. The Chiefs have a really good team, and Patrick Mahomes and Kelce, and man, those guys are really good, and it's just so easy for them. But I'm going to tell you something, that thing Derrick Henry is unreal. He's big and powerful, and, you know, just look at what he missed. One game, I think, all year, they held him out for a hamstring. Other than that, he's had like 190 yards in the last three games, you know, an NFL record. And it just seems like he keeps getting stronger and stronger and stronger. I've seen his stat back, I guess it was when they played the Texans the last game before the playoffs started. And it was like the first quarter, he just slow getting going. Second quarter's better, and the third quarter's better, and the fourth quarter's even better than that. So, as the game goes along, he's getting better and better and better, and that's what you need, you know. And he's a big guy. He gets a step or two moving forward, and they don't want no part of trying to bring him down. So that's always, you know, a tough thing to do. So they're running the ball, and what about Tannehill? You know, somebody said the other day, well, we're at practice, man, how stupid do you think the Dolphins are, you know, thinking now? But when he played at the Dolphins, he didn't play a whole year. You know, he got hurt every year. And this year, he didn't start the season out either. So, you know, it's hard to say, but, you know, some systems just fit players better than others. You know, that's the hard thing about all these coaching changes, you know, that, you know, you take like Cleveland. You know, I'm not saying that Baker Mayfield's a great quarterback yet or nothing, but, I mean, he's getting ready to have his third or fourth head coach in his young career, you know, which is going to change the coordinators and all that. And you know, that's one thing that made Peyton Manning and Tom Brady and Dan Marino and Joe Montana, all these guys great, is they played under the same coach and coaching style for all those years, you know, and the coaches are smart enough to realize, hey, these guys are that good. We can, you know, we can change their stuff, fit their system. So, you know, maybe that's helping Tannehill out, you know, being able to take the, with Henry running the ball, he ain't having to rely on throwing as much as he did in Miami. They didn't have a running game. The defense, look what, you know, the defense is doing for the Titans. You know, they're coming on and playing really well and getting the ball back and getting them in, you know, good field position. And, you know, when they're having to run that ball, those safeties are pulling up and run support, and that leaves the back of the middle of the field open, and they took advantage of it on a big bomb the other day. So I think that, you know, they got a chance. I know, you know, the last team that won a three road games and made it to the Super Bowl, they went on to win the Super Bowl and beat an undefeated, you know, New England Patriot team. So, you know, I wouldn't count them out. You know, it's I would definitely say that, you know, they're a team that nobody wants to play at this point. So we'll see. You know, I'm happy for them. I know Mike Vrabel did a great job down there. You know, that's about all I can say about them is you know, nobody give them a chance, and they're doing it the right way. So we'll see, you know, what happens. And then, you know, you look at the Chiefs on the other hand, you know, just we were at practice Sunday, and you know, after practice, the girl sitting around says, Lord, the Chiefs are getting killed 21-0, you know, and then before we get home to watch it, it's already 24-0. And, but you know what, just think how much worse could the game have started for them, you know, muff the punt, turn over here, miss a field goal, just all that stuff. And then, you know, it was just one score at a time. You know, that's all you got to do is one score at a time. Start doing your job, and, you know, before long, they end up just blowing them out. You know, and I'll be honest, I'm not real surprised about that. I don't think I'm not as high on the Texans and Deshaun Watson as a lot of people are. I thought they were really, really fortunate to get by the Buffalo Bills. I think if J.J. Watt doesn't play in that Buffalo game, they do not win that game. He made maybe the play of the game by getting that sack early and knocking them out field goal range, and then he disrupted several different times when they played Buffalo. So I'm not surprised that the Chiefs went on to blow them out. I was surprised that, you know, they were down early. So Andy Reid, you know, what a great coach he is. He's not much of a chance taker, just old, you know, old school coach, and scripts first plays the game, and, you know, just been around it for so long, makes good decisions, and You know, even if they win, it's not going to hurt my feelings. I like that guy. I really like him, and I like Patrick Mahomes. I like the way he plays, just, you know, just sort of loose out there and run it when you need to, throw it, being able to throw from on the run at any different angles, you know, and find the open person and, like I say, pull it down and take off when you want to, but he really wants to throw it versus run it. So there's a lot riding on that game. It'll definitely, I think, be a good game, because the last time they met, it came down to the very end, you know, and it was, I don't know exactly what the score was, but it came down to the end of the game. I think the Chiefs might have missed a field goal to win it, if I'm not mistaken, somewhere close. But so, that game being in Kansas City, you know, it could be cold. That might, you know, hurt the Titans a little bit. I'm not sure. But it for sure will be a good game, but it's going to be a loud game. They get good crowds there, and they say that the sound, the way it comes through that stadium, is unreal. So, you know, that's going to be loud. And after the way they pulled that game off last week, you know, coming from behind and end up blowing it out, it's going to be, you know, it's going to be definitely a good game. So I'm looking forward to it. Like I said, either way, I'm not going to be mad. I like both of those teams, and, you know, all the quarterbacks besides, well, Garoppolo, I guess, has got one from New England, but as far as a starter, everybody but Aaron Rodgers is, you know, going to be fighting for Super Bowl ring as a starting quarterback. So, you know, it's going to be a good game there in Kansas City, and maybe it'll go down to the wire again, you know, the last play. It's amazing you think of this, and you're watching these games and these teams, and they play four quarters of football, and all the plays they miss, or, you know, they drop a pass, or quarterback didn't see a guy, or miss an extra point. You play all that time, then it comes down to overtime. You know, that just always amazing. Or, you know, it comes down to the very last second of the whole game. And, you know, that's when you know you got some good teams and good competition and good games going on. You know, if you're pulling for one team, you don't always like that. But, you know, as a fan of football, you gotta like those kind of games. So maybe it'll turn out to be that kind of game. We shall see, I guess. Let's see, what other game did we watch? We watched maybe a little bit of the Minnesota San Fran game. Don't know much about what happened there. I never even heard them talk about much. I know Minnesota evidently didn't play like they did against New Orleans, because they got beat 27-10, I believe it was, something along there. You know, and that's sort of surprised me, because they got a good defense, they got a good quarterback, and they had a good run game. I don't know what happened, but I will say this, in my opinion, and, you know, I think that out of the four teams left, that San Fran is the most complete, well-rounded team. I think they got enough run game, enough quarterback, and the defense is really, really good. The special teams, they got a good field goal kicker. I think that, you know, they probably, and I know people probably dog me for saying this, I think that Jimmy Garoppolo is probably the worst out of the four quarterbacks left, but I think he's on the best all-around team of any of the four teams left. Now, that don't mean anything. I mean, they lost some games, a handful or two or something, but they got a good young coach. You know, he come from the old school, and, you know, what about their GM? Probably most people don't even know who their GM is, Next, John Lynch, and he played for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And I'm gonna tell you something, he's a tough dude. And you know, he went out and got the kind of players that he wanted, and Kyle Shanahan wanted, and they've built that team out there, and you know, just the way they want it. So it sure wouldn't surprise me if they make it to the Super Bowl. It wouldn't surprise me, you know, if they won it. Just, you know, just think of what from one year to the next, you know, last year Garoppolo gets hurt, then what, they win three games maybe, and this year they won, what, 14 now, I guess. And, you know, just think of that. In 1 year, that's what a steady quarterback can do. And then, you know, players getting another year in the system, and then, you know, look how young their defensive front is. Their defensive liner is like all rookies, you know, and they're playing good. You know, a lot of people say, well, that's, you know, amazing to me, all those rookies. But you know what? I think that's a great thing. You get these younger players, you know, maybe in a little better shape, you know, a little bit hungrier than some of these others, and, you know, where these other guys might, you know, not give 100% on this play, you know, these guys are probably giving more effort than what those veterans are used to doing. So it wouldn't surprise me at all if 49ers win it, or, you know, make it to the Super Bowl and win it. But we'll see. I know Green Bay, we watched the game. Well, I'll say this. We watched till halftime of the game Green Bay played the 49ers, and they got smoked. I mean, they got killed. I mean, they didn't even have like 100 yards total offense in the first half. I mean, Aaron Rodgers completed like one or two passes, mate. It was terrible, I'm just going to tell you. So they better for sure put up a better effort and show up ready to play more than they did that game, because they just made enough plays against Seattle to win that game. I'm not going to say they look great. They made just enough plays to win that game. You know, they did run the ball well enough. And, you know, regardless of what you can say about Aaron Rodgers, you know, of his attitude and all that, I hear all these people, you know, talk like he's hard to get along with the coaches and all that. He may be. But I'm going to tell you what he is. He's smooth as a clock. You know, he's just, most of the time he was connecting there on those passes at the end of the game, he was running backwards when he was throwing the ball. I mean, it was like, I was telling Jefferson, watch this. This is unreal. He's running backwards, you know. When most people, you follow him running backwards, you underthrow the ball, and he's putting it right on the money. So, you know, as much as I think the 49ers, I think they're that much better than Green Bay, I wouldn't sleep on them. I mean, when you got Aaron Rodgers back there, and, you know, they got that good receiver and tight end start showing up, running the ball, and their defense has definitely been playing better. I ain't going to say, you know, they look tired and they give up a lot of plays, but they've been playing better. We'll say that. But I think it's going to be a better game than it was the last time. And, you know, if they go on to win it, it wouldn't surprise me any. They're, you know, like I say, Aaron Rodgers has been there before. How many games have we seen him carry the whole team, you know, have to make every play, and he's did it. So I just don't think they, you know, have turned him loose yet. I'm not sure, you know, they said early in the year him and this young new coach had words about audibles and this and that, and maybe they have, but I know this, but that guy is smooth as a clock. So it definitely will be, I think, a better game than the last time, because it was a terrible effort and a showing that they put up the last time. So I'm hoping that they can, I'm hoping it definitely will be a better game than what it was. So I guess we shall see. You know, the one of them plays early and one of them plays late. I guess they're both on Sunday this week. Probably one on CBS, one on Fox. So, you know, by next week we will for sure know who's going to the Super Bowl. You know, like I said, it for me in the AFC, it's a, either one is fine. I know a lot of people pulling for the 49ers. A lot of people pulling for the Packers. So we'll see. You know, I ain't gonna say I'm a huge Aaron Rodgers fan, but man, that guy's good. He's smooth as a clock. You know, and those kind of guys are about a thing of the past anymore. So it should be definitely a great game. I did notice Jennifer told me today that a lot of the schedules have been out for women's football throughout. See where the WFA had released theirs. They've got, I don't know how many teams they've got, but we've seen several of them have moved up a level or you know, so. And so their schedule's out, and they play an 8-game schedule. There's several teams not in the state of Tennessee, with two, I guess, in the WFA. So I guess they start the second week in April, probably is usually when they start championships in the middle, April 4th is when they start. Championship will be in the middle of July. I know the USWFL schedule, I'm not sure if it's posted, but the teams have got it, and they start the week last Saturday in March. The championship for them is going to be, I believe, June the 27th, I believe is when it is. So they're getting started a week earlier and going to have the championship a couple, 3 weeks earlier or something like that than the rest of them. And I'll tell you what, you'd be surprised. It might be a little bit cooler at that time because, boy, last year in mid-July, it was like 100 degrees. It was meltdown city. So, you know, we'll see how that goes. I don't think the WTFL, I'm not sure that they've released their schedule yet. I'm not sure if they have. If they have, we haven't seen anything on it. So maybe in the next few days or something, they'll be releasing theirs. The WNFC, I guess they've released theirs. They play a 6-game schedule. Seen USWFL playing a 6-game schedule this year, as well as the WTFL. And, you know, if I can, you know, say that for those big teams and, you know, teams like it's in the WNFC, you know, about a 6-game schedule, but definitely for the small market teams and for a lot of the travel and stuff, those 6-game schedules are not a bad thing because time the playoffs come, and if you win a playoff game or two and make it to the championship, you'll have played 8 or 9 games, you know, and trying to cram them in there from the 1st of April to the last week of June, you know, before that championship game in those leagues where the championship's in the mid-July, you know, that's tough. That don't leave you many weeks to take off, and you got several, you know, big holidays in there with Easter, Mother's Day, and Memorial Day. Most people don't even pay no attention to Father's Day, but it's in June as well. So it makes it tough to get all those regular season games in. And if you're traveling very much, you don't get a break, you know. And so for these small market teams, playing that 6-game schedule seems to be the better fit. And I know a lot of teams like to play 8, and, you know, I guess it's whatever suits them. But, you know, most teams want to play 8, but they don't want to travel anywhere to do it, you know. And so even in the with the WFA schedule, we've seen where Knoxville's got some, not maybe not necessarily them. I don't know. They're traveling the boat, but I know the Capital City Savages are coming down from Lansing, Michigan. That's a good long trip. And either they're going to the Richmond Black Widows or Richmond's going to them. That'll be a pretty good trip. So you start taking several of those, you know, those kind of trips, you know, with these small market teams, it starts to take a toll on, you know, these women. And like I say, you know, if you're like us, we got them from young to, you know, on up. And these girls, some of them got school. Of course, they'll be out of school before long, but they got school or, you know, single moms or both and work. And so it takes a toll on them. Now, I'm like I said, for me personally, I'd like to see them play 10 or 12 games if you had the players and, you know, all that. But when you don't, you know, I'd say I would be surprised that the majority of women's teams in all these leagues are probably Division III. I'd say that the majority of them are Division III, and that means 25 players or somewhere around that number or less. So, you know, when you start to think about that, you know, you have a few that can't go to a game here, can't go to a game there, and you get an injury or two, you know, before long you're down under 20, and you start traveling and getting players sore and beat up, and you don't have a week off, you got to turn around, it takes a toll on them. You know, I think that's one thing that there's a lot of these teams don't make it, you know, because they've got so much going on. So, you know, maybe this six game stuff, maybe it is the way to go. You know, maybe trying to get, you know, eight or nine games with the playoffs and a championship or something, you know. So I'm not sure. We shall see. It's, you know, it's going to be here before you know it. I know the Tri-Cities Thunder, I believe, is scrimmaging. I know they're going to scrimmage Dirty City Dynamite. I'm just not sure. I'm pretty sure it's the 15th of February. I believe that date's set. So, you know, it's going to be here before we know it. Then there's a jamboree they're going to play in and South Carolina. So that's the end of February. There's going to be it's just around the corner. It'll be here before you know it. You know, what is it? Probably 2.5 months away. 10 weeks away, I guess, something like that from women's football kicking off, you know, and it seems to go by so fast every year. And, you know, I know the first year we had this team, we practiced for a whole year almost. It was a whole year, a year and something before we played the first game. And it seemed like it took forever to get here. And then once we started playing, it seemed like it was no time. The season was over. And then that first off season, it just drug by and drug by and drug by. And, you know, now we get started so much earlier. Like this year, we took about 6 weeks off and then had to get ready to play in the game in Nashville. And so it'll be here before you know it. I know time creeps by, creeps up on you, and it can fly by. You know, if we ain't ready, it's going to be on top of us, and we won't be ready to play. You know, I know it's hard. Hard one thing, of course, this winter it ain't been too bad. It's been really warm, but, you know, a big thing is getting these girls ready to play because you practice in the cold, and then you play in the warm, you know, but this year, at least here in Tennessee, it's been really warm for the winter, and we sort of been lucky. One thing, though, this dang flu bug, it's hit about everybody. I know one practice we had was going to have over half of the girls out just for, you know, being sick. Some of them have taken it back, and shoot, I've had the crud myself, and took a whole round of antibiotics and still got, a sinus infection or something. So it's tough. It's still sort of crazy how this goes around. And, you know, believe it or not, that'll slow you down. Having girls miss and here and there, and new girls showing up, and you know, just all that coming together, it's tough. So, you know, it we definitely got work cut out for us. Everybody, it ain't just one team. Everybody's in the same boat trying to get their teams ready to play. You know, and get ready for some scrimmages. And see where you're at. And see how your team's gonna stack up and respond. You know, after losing players here, and losing players there, and putting new players in, and you know, it's their time to step up and see what they got. You know, it's I heard Nick Saban say, you know, talk about losing all them coaches. He said, well, you know, it's a great opportunity for somebody to step in and see how good they can be. And, you know, I firmly believe that. You know, I hear people all the time, boy, I need the opportunity. If I could just do, you know, get a chance. Well, you know what? Here's their chance. You know, and it happens on every team. Well, probably not every team, but most of the teams every year, you know, of losing a lot of players and having to rebuild. And I know it's like that for us here. It's always a tough gig. We're in a small area, and if it wasn't for, you know, a lot of these girls traveling, we would be in bad shape and getting players. It's just hard to get them. The biggest thing is, you know, getting these girls to commit. That's been my thing, you know, for years and years and years. And, you know, not being owner of the team this year, you know, these girls that do own the team, they're starting to see, you know, how it is when, you know, all this time when they thought I was just harping. Now they're starting to see the side me and Jennifer seen forever, you know, and why you were. And I mean, you know, everybody's got a reason for missing practice, but I'm going to tell you, if you're not looking forward to that practice every time that it is, then you're not going to succeed. And I'll just tell you, and if you got 25 or 30 on your roster, you got 15 or 16 showing up to practice regularly, you got 15 or 16. You better be ready to play those, and they better be tough, because that's what you're going to be dealing with. Those others, you know, just here and there, I mean, I know it's tough, no doubt, but if you want to play, you got to make that commitment. And with commitment comes long sacrifices. You know, we were, you know, in the middle of sold the league, sold the team, and was in the middle of retiring ourselves. And, you know, we knew what kind of grind it was, and we just wasn't sure, you know, we wanted to go that grind. And, you know, once we decided to, you know, we're in it. And that means every time practice is and games, scrimmages, we're in it for the long haul until we decide we ain't. And, you know, that's the kind of players that you want. You know, you want players that want to be there, that look forward to being there, would love to practice every day, you know, and just make it happen. That's what I always tell them. You want to play, you'll make it happen. There's more than one way. You know, I got a job as well. Jennifer's got a job. You know, other owners on this team or coaches, they've all got jobs. But, you know, for the most part, they seem to figure out a way somehow balance stuff and make it work. And I think that's the biggest success for these girls or women's teams that, you know, have held it together forever, is those girls really love to play and would really do anything to play and win. And, you know, I've seen a few of those players, and, you know, we have a few on this team. But, you know, I've seen a few, you know, leave as well. Things that go their way, they were up and gone. So, you know, it's tough. And I hope, you know, I hope all of our girls can get it together and realize that, hey, we got a great opportunity here to play. You know, so many women don't get the opportunity. You know, I know a lot of girls their whole lives wish they could play, and then they get you know, up in age and have a family and kids, and time's passed them by, and, you know, and all these girls got an opportunity to do it. And, you know, then they just sort of take it for granted. So maybe they'll get it together. Maybe, you know, we'll see women's football prosper through across the country, you know, not just here in the East, but in the West and South and the North and Midwest and, you know, all that. So it's going to be here before we know it. I can tell you that. So good luck to all the teams that, you know, want to be playing. And, you know, it won't be long till it starts. And then a few weeks after that, we'll be talking about, you know, who's starting to separate themselves from front runners and who's, you know, going to have to drop back and punt and rebuild and reload again. You know, it happens every year, and it happens to the best of us. It ain't just, you know, certain teams. It happens to a lot of everybody. So we'll see what's going to happen in the next few weeks, and maybe I can start getting some of these teams or some girls on some of these teams to come on here and talk about playing and things of that nature. Also, you seen where the XFL, is that what they're calling that? The new league is the XFL. We've seen that what they're prepared to start the week after the Super Bowl, I believe. Fox is going to cover at least some of the games. I know they were advertising on Fox, and I guess that is it Vince McMahon. Is that who's doing it? You know, he's a smart dude, no doubt about it. So I guess he'll figure it out and make it work. I did see they were advertising that Connor Cook, the guy from Florida, Aaron Murray from Georgia, not Florida. I can't remember who that other quarterback was that they showed. Guys that have played in the NFL are going to be the quarterbacks we've seen for three of those teams. So, you know, maybe it's going to be some good football. I know they got a new wrinkle to a kickoff rule and a new way they're doing the kickoff. Can't wait to see that. We just seen a little piece of it or heard them talk about it, but it sounds crazy. But I think you kick from like your own 30, if I'm not mistaken. And neither team can move until the ball's been kicked and the guy on the receiving team receives it. Once he gets it, I believe you can take off. So, you know, if they got some good kickers, you still should get the ball around midfield, I would think. I mean, what they usually kick from the 35, they usually kick from the 35, and they kick them from the 30, 25 or 30, somewhere along there. I know it's deep and wrong. So, you know, those NFL kickers kick from 35 out the end zone. Well, I guess maybe not get as good a field position as I thought, but I know that if I'm not mistaken, the ruling is you can't, neither team can leave until the receiving team catches the ball. So that guy should have a good head of steam by the time he meets somebody. So if, you know, if he's fielding it around the 5 or the 10, then he, you know, he should probably be up around his 30, 40 by the time they get to about there. So, yeah, they still probably get pretty good field position. I don't know exactly if that's the rules exactly, but it's something along that line. I believe there's going to be some more wrinkles in there to the rule. So I can't wait to see it. You know, I'm anxious and excited to watch this football. I've NFL stuff. I love football. I really do. People think I don't. And I love it, but it's just gotten way out of hand. And, you know, the way they act, and, you know, just seeing where Antonio Brown showed his hind end and threw a fit. And I mean, man, those guys just don't know, you know, how lucky they are to have played and made that kind of money for playing the game they love. So, you know, it was like the other league that didn't last year. I thought there was some good football in it. So, you know, maybe we'll see a lot of the same guys here and some new faces, but I'm hoping it really works. Some of these guys that haven't had the opportunity to maybe show what they can do. You know, I've said forever that they put base salaries on every position and then put incentives and things of that nature, you know, that we'd see a lot better football. Who was it? Is it the what team did that linebacker play for that got snubbed for the playoff with Green Bay? Said he was on a base salary and couldn't reach his incentive because of his Pro Bowl. If he'd have made the Pro Bowl, he would have got a big bonus, and he's only making, well, I say he's only, he's making league minimum or something like $660,000, and that would have been another bonus for him. And he made the first team all pro, but because the All-Star game or the Pro Bowl was picked by fans, or at least part of it, he didn't make it. So, you know, and he led the team in tackles. I forget how many tackles he had. So I just believe that, you know, well, they'd never do it now because it's got way out of hand. But, you know, at one time, they would have been able to make that stuff work. So they've let it get so far out of hand now, they'll never do it. But, you know, you got these players holding out, won't play for finish out their contract till they get a bigger, till they get a better deal. You know what? Let them go on. Good thing they don't play for old Dave, because I'd send them packing. You can bet your hind end on that, because there's guys out there that can play. You know, matter of fact, that guy played on Philadelphia's team. They're one of their better receivers finished out the year. Actually was on their practice squad for a long time. Turned out to be maybe their leading receiver this year. And he may not make that team next year. Somebody will pick that guy up. He was that good. I just think that, you know, given the opportunity, there's enough of these guys in the NFL that if they're given that opportunity, they can take advantage of it. But these teams get so much invested in all these guys that they can't, you know, once their performance goes, they got all that money tied up in them. They can't do nothing pretty much but play them. I don't think they should. I think it should be a base salary and then with incentives. If you're the leading rusher, you get a big bonus. If you lead the league in touchdowns, you get a big bonus. Same thing for quarterbacks, every position. I'll tell you, you'd see a lot of hungry players. I don't have any idea, no clue of what the XFL guys are making or are going to make. But I'll promise you, it's nowhere near what the NFL guys are making. And you wait and see if we don't see some good football. Now, it may be a little sluggish first, because I'm sure they haven't had the practices that, you know, the pro teams get to have, and probably, you know, what the pro teams have, four or five preseason games. Those guys probably haven't got to have a preseason game. They had, what, one camp or something. We've seen them doing the camp on the internet, working out, and then they, you know, they were showing this kickoff thing. So not sure exactly of what kind of rules they're doing, or how many quarters, how many minute quarters, or anything like that. But if I'm guessing, they're going to have a few different rules, or they wouldn't have changed that kickoff. You know, I really look forward, before long, I think it's heading in a direction with as many touchbacks as we get, or the amount of penalties you get, or the amount of injuries you get on the kickoff. I look for them to get rid of it, but before long, I really do. I just, you know, there ain't hardly any special teams that, you know, it used to be a big thing. You know, you punt one or kick it off, somebody's running it back. It don't happen much anymore because there's so many dang penalties. you know, every time you see a good run back, you look and there's flags laying all over the whole field. So it just, to me, it, you know, it's a part of the game that, you know, especially in women's, you know, last year we started that, you know, no kickoff deal. I haven't seen the rules this year. I don't know if that's what they're going with or what, but, you know, for us, when I watched all the women's teams or talked to them, there was only a couple teams that really wanted to have the kickoff. And that was because it was to their advantage, you know, of being able to have a bunch of players and they only had a kickoff team. Or the other team wanted you to kick off to them because they had some speedsters back there. Well, when I watched this, as a whole, watched a lot of women's football and film, what I seen was, especially in the Division III level, and like I said earlier, probably the majority of the teams in women's football are in that level, that, you know, when they go to kick off, they got girls out there that shouldn't even be on the kickoff. You know, so what's those teams do? They either, if they're smart, they onside kick it, which the other team usually can't run it back, gives you an opportunity to get it. Or two, they're not smart enough to onside kick it, and they kick it deep, and some girl blows by. So, you know, for me, it was like, well, I can tell you right now, you know, we're changing out, what, two or three girls, and the rest of them played the whole game, you know. You're just going onside kick it. Well, you know, you say, well, having a kickoff is part of football. Well, okay. Is onside kicking it every time part of football? No. So, you know, this way it gives the, you know, there's, you're guaranteed if you start the game, you're guaranteed the ball, or if it's your time after the half, you get the ball, or after every score, you get the ball. You know, you score several times and you onside it. I mean, you got a 50-50 chance of getting it. And in women's, I'd say that's a good percentage. Now, in the pros, it's what 6% or 3% or something chance of getting it. But in women's, I'd say a 50% chance is a pretty high percentage, you know. So you got an opportunity to get that thing every time. So, you know, why not just take the rule out and give the team the ball, save on injuries. You know, fatigue sets in. These girls, you, like I said, if you take 25 players, you get one or two hurt here, one or two missing there. You got 20, you know, you got 11 playing offense. You usually got about six of those, six or seven playing defense. So they're playing the whole game. So you change out a kickoff and you put girls on there, you know, that are tired. That's where these injuries come about. And I think, you know, before long, if the NFL is going to, you know, say, hey, enough's enough, because they tweak that rule every year. Every year they have when they have that rules committee thing and talk about it, the first thing they start doing is tweaking that kickoff rule, you know, changing it here and there, you know, like this, you used to be able to get back there 5 yards deep and run with the kicker. Now you got to stand there and the kicker passes you. You can't form no wedges. And so every year they're tweaking it. And I just think that at some point they're going to go back and look at the amount of injuries. How many kickoffs were they even run back this year? I don't have no – I didn't see one all year. There was – I didn't see very many. So you got to, you know, that used to be a big thing. You kicked somebody like Tony Dorsett. I mean, he'd take one the distance, you know, for the Cowboys back in the day. You just don't see that today. I mean, you could just about almost plan on seeing almost a run back kickoff in every game years ago. But now all these guys are so big and fast that you just don't see them anymore. So, I mean, it's really gotten to a part where the kickoff is, you know, not part of the game unless, I mean, they kick it out of the end zone or, you know, a lot of coaches want to squib it so they don't get a chance to run it back and gives you a chance to get down there to put them in first field position than just taking the ball. So I think that, you know, it may not be this year and it may not be next year, but they're getting closer and closer and closer toward it. And, you know, the first time I ever heard about it, you know, was Mary Butler had mentioned it one time when, you know, we were on the call and she's still on the league. And, you know, about she had some safety guy on there and he was talking about it. And, you know, I thought about it then, you know, and, you know, what the ins and outs of it was. And, you know, then when you get down there and you put it all into motion and, hey, it was one of the smartest things we ever did as far as, you know, the league. And now one thing it does, it makes you drive, you know, see the idea, you know, NFL's pin them deep, you know, make them drive the length of the field. That's sort of what this does, you know, is it makes you drive the length of the field, you know, instead of if you onside it and get it, you're up there about the 50 or 45, and, you know, so you don't have to go so far. But, you know, when you take it at 25, it makes you go the length of the field, but which to me is more like football than onside and only having 45 or 50 yards to drive to score. So, you know, it makes you work harder to get there, and it's safer and better to boot. So I hope that, you know, I hope that rule's still in place this year. Like I said, I haven't seen any of the rules yet, but I'm sure we'll be getting them in the next little bit. I know the schedules, I think they were released today, and so it should be another fun year. You know, it's hard to say how good you're going to be to get some of these new girls in action. I mean, I know I've got a lot of girls that I know what can do, but I've got some that, you know, I just don't know what can do. And we're gonna see here, I guess about a month. We'll know. One thing I know about Dirty Cities, they're going to hit you. And that's a good thing. We're going to see how tough we are or how tough we ain't. I can tell you this, we played the River City Sting down there in Nissan Stadium in Nashville, Tennessee, and they got after us. And they were hitting. And, you know, right off the bat, you're going to win. You better be tough. What was it I said just earlier in the show? You know, playing good defense and running that ball is the recipe for success to win. Well, you're going to run the football and you're going to play good defense. Two things you have to be is tough. And if you're not, you're going to find out real quick. You know, and that's what I say. We're going to find out real quick how tough we are and we ain't in the next month or 6 weeks. We got a couple of things going on. It'll tell us a lot about our football team, you know, where we're at. I know we got a lot of tough girls, got a lot of good players. Like I said, we got some that I'm just not sure, you know, how they're going to respond. So we shall see. But, well, I guess that's about enough gap for me this week. Next week, we'll for sure know who's going to be in the Super Bowl. Should be some really, really good games this weekend. Looking forward to that. And I'll try to start rounding me up some girls in the next week, two or three or something, to get on here and maybe talk some football and see how excited they are to be starting the season. So we'll be looking forward to that. So I'm Coach Johnson. Until next Tuesday, we'll see you then.